The first scripture lesson this morning is from the Hebrew Bible. It is Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the rulers of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, God regards the lowly, but the haughty God perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill God's purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Here ends the first reading.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before them.' And the friend answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though that friend will not get up and give the first person anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you feel comfortable answering this question, I want you to raise your hand if you have ever been confused by prayer. What it's supposed to look or sound like, what you should pray about, how to pray, what do you say to God, who are you supposed to pray to, God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit? What kinds of things do we get to ask God for in prayer, when or how often to pray? Raise your hand if you have ever felt confused by prayer. Yeah, I see a lot of folks. Yeah. If any of those questions, any of those confusions sound familiar, I can assure you from my own wonderings and from lots of conversations I've had with people in this very church that you are not alone. There's so many ways to pray, and we aren't always taught what those are or how to do it. Or maybe a kind of prayer that used to work for us in the past suddenly doesn't anymore. So we fumble along trying to share ourselves with God and ask blessings on the people we care about and the strangers our hearts ache for as best we can. And before we go any further, I want to say that whatever you are doing and calling it prayer, you're doing great. It counts. Formal or informal, for others or ourselves, asking for help or giving thanks for a blessing, repeating a prayer that you've been taught or that your minister paid you $5 to learn when you were in confirmation, which I think is totally legit, or making it up as you go along. That's prayer. Walking, like we talked about this morning with Andy, walking or dancing, singing, journaling, crying, laughing in delight, opening your hands in gratitude or surrender, or putting your hand on your heart as you think of a person or a situation who needs God's presence. That's all prayer. Making yet another lunch for your kid with intention and love, the upswell of bittersweet tenderness as you care for an aging parent who doesn't always remember who you are. Basking in gratitude as you snuggle with your pet. That can all be prayer too. God is not nearly so narrow or formulaic as religion sometimes makes God out to be, and so neither is prayer. But if you're looking for some parameters to get you started with prayer, well, you are in luck, because Jesus knew that we would sometimes struggle or not have the words for the deepest longings of our hearts and the deepest heartaches of the world. So he gave his disciples, that's us, what we now call the Lord's Prayer. It's a crib sheet, if you will, a short and sweet combination of devotion and petition that covers all the basics. Words we recite every Sunday and every Wednesday here at church, at funerals, sometimes at weddings, a prayer that marks the momentous turns of our lives as surely as it does the wonder of ordinary daily existence. Some of us are comforted by the rhythm and beauty of these traditional words, while others of us are turned off by what seems like a rote prayer, or one you can certainly speed right through without a second thought if you're bored or you're worried about making it to brunch or kickoff in time after church is done. But if we pay close attention to this prayer, reading it in scripture or in a different Bible translation or another culture's version of it helps us to pay that close attention, fresh eyes, right? It really has a lot to give us. So let's go through it. We start off, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." I'm going to do the longer version that we usually say in church, even though today's scripture is sort of the bare bones, shorter version. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, first off, we're reminded of our relationship to God as a loving parent, one who nurtures and cares for us, one who calls us beloved and brings us into the world with purpose and delight. We honor God as worthy of praise with those first words, anchoring ourselves in the goodness of a divine one who is even bigger than we can conceive, who inhabits and breathes life into not just the earth, but the heavens, not just the physical, but the spiritual, not just what we can see, but also what we can't, the whole universe. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have this extraordinary opportunity with these words to orient ourselves towards and commit to the kind of world God wants to create with us. God's kingdom of justice and mercy, of belonging and belovedness, where all are cherished and valued and treated as family. A kingdom, as I often say, we get to align ourselves with God's kingdom that it might become ever more real, and that we might be a part of tending the redemptive seeds that others have planted, and that we might sow some of our own in ways small and large. I find so much hope in this line, because every time I say it, I get to affirm that I want a more just and loving world, that I believe that in some ways it's already happening in little beautiful pockets of creation, and that one day it will come to full fruition. I get to promise that I will be a part of it again today, even in the face of my own fatigue or apathy, even in the face of every tragic and terrible headline, every story of greed or cruelty or hatred or indifference that we hear. Give us this day our daily bread. With these words, we ground ourselves in humility, the acknowledgement that what we need to survive each day is not a given, but rather a gift. And that despite our culture's myth that we can achieve and maintain comfort and security by ourselves, the truth is that we need one another, and we need God most of all in order to make it from one day to the next. With these words, we celebrate that gift and we let God draw us back to the miracle of the present. Freed, if only for a moment, from worrying about where we'll get tomorrow's bread or lamenting yesterday's lack. And bread, of course, is both literally bread, physical nourishment, and a figurative symbol of everything we need spiritually and material that we are tempted to be anxious about or hoard. In those words, we hear an invitation to share because we know that for today, we have enough. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. With these words, we're invited to reflect on where we have missed the mark and to think about to whom we need to extend some grace for the ways they've missed the mark and hit us instead. Jesus's words here link together our freedom with others' freedom. The truth that if we are holding grudges or wrapped up in the pain of another's callous or cruel words or actions, we will struggle to feel truly liberated from the guilt and shame that result from hurtful acts that we've committed. They're intertwined. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord knows literally that life is hard enough as it is. So we ask with these words, we ask God to help us resist the voracious grasp of life-draining things with which we often wrestle, whatever those are for each of us. And we ask not necessarily to be shielded from evil, from the harm that we human beings do to one another in our pursuit of power and control, but rather that God would bring us out on the other side of that evil, healed and made whole again. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. With these final words, we proclaim that in the end, it's all God's. And so we are in good hands. What I love about this poem of a prayer that's camouflaged in ordinary language is its forthrightness. It's honest about what we as humans need and what we struggle with, and about the one who provides for us and calls us to freedom in all of it. Even if you don't love this prayer though, or if you find it slips too quickly from gorgeous meditation to rote rhyme, or that it's great to start, but it doesn't really get you into more personal conversation with God, these hallmarks of honesty and freedom, of divine solidarity with our human struggle, and of daily gratitude to and reorientation towards God will serve us well no matter how we pray. In the scripture, in fact, Jesus goes on to talk about other ways of praying, as we sang this morning, asking and seeking and banging on the door until someone finally shows up to respond to our questions or our need. We do not, it turns out, need to be brief, like this prayer is, or polite or restrained. We do not need to restrict our prayers to convenient moments or to designated worship hours or to pre-written language, even if that language comes from Jesus, even if it's the way Jesus told us to pray. We can beat down God's door with the urgency and passion of our prayers, our longing to be healed or heard, our desires for wholeness for those we cherish and for this broken world of ours. And surely God, who loves us even more than we love our children, God who delights in us, will respond. I'm sure we have all prayed, though, even with much persistence, for something that hasn't come to pass, or at least not in the way that we requested. Whether we've asked for something relatively small or something monumentally important to us or to the world, we are tempted to yell, "What gives, Jesus?" Which, by the way, is yet another valid way to pray. Yelling at God counts. Even cursing in front of God, if that's what you need to do, bringing your pain and anger and your whys to the one who can take it all. The key here is found in verse 13. Jesus says, "If you then, who are evil," meaning those of you who aren't perfect, "if even you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" The response when we're banging down God's door, desperate for answers or healing or relief or justice or belonging, it isn't necessarily that we always get exactly what we're asking for. It's that we get the Holy Spirit. That might sound like a consolation prize, but the Holy Spirit, God's presence with us, is anything but a flimsy substitute. Scripture talks about the Holy Spirit as the power of God, that what the Spirit gives us in all circumstances is love and joy, peace, fortitude in suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. In short, everything we need to weather whatever storms life throws at us. If you've ever been through a deep loss or great pain or a really difficult decision or a seismic change, which is all of us this past year, or through the day in and day out of work that gives you great joy but also exhausts you, I immediately think of raising my wonderful children. You know the immeasurable gift that peace is. You know the gift that joy is. You know the gifts that fortitude and self-control and goodness and love are. They, God's gift to us in prayer, are what get us through. And none of this is shut up behind a locked door. None of it is inaccessible except to those who have certain degrees or titles or special knowledge. It's open to all of us. And all we have to do is ask. Friends, here is the secret of prayer. It is not so much whether we get what we are asking for, not so much how our circumstances are changed, but how we are changed when we pray. If we are persistent, if we are regularly in conversation with God, however, whatever that looks like for you, even if it's not every day, whatever that looks like, we will be shaped by our proximity to our conversation partner, the source of all that is good. Our spirits will be lifted or carried along to the next place where we'll feel filled up again. The weight of our burdens will be lightened. Our joys will be more deeply felt, and our strength will be returned to us when we're sure we have nothing left. Because it doesn't matter so much how we talk to God or what we make of prayer. What matters is what prayer makes of us. It makes us people who can be honest and free in front of God, sustained and transformed by God's redeeming love so that we can thrive, and so that we can turn and offer that thriving love to others, that kingdom might be more fully realized here amongst humans as it is with God. Amen. Friends, as I mentioned, sometimes it really helps to hear a beloved familiar prayer in new language. And so we've done this once or twice before, but it's been a minute. For the benediction, I'd like to pray the New Zealand Anglican version of the Lord's Prayer over you. Eternal Spirit, earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and mother, parent of us all, loving God in whom is heaven. The hallowing of your name echo through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created things, beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Go in peace, beloved ones.